So if you have a copy of God's Word, I want to encourage you, invite you to join me in the book of Revelation. We're going to be in Revelation chapter 2 today. And I know some of you, you just got really excited. I'm just going to burst that bubble because there's a lot of things here and we're not going to handle all of it today. So if you have a lot of questions about this passage, then you can talk to Pastor Tim about that. Or Chris is pretty well suited over here. No, he says no, so don't talk to Chris either. But we're going to be just kind of scratching the surface here in Revelation chapter 2 today. But what we've been talking about as a church family, we've just been trying to talk about just prayer and fasting. And what we're trying to do as a family is we're not trying to view these things as obligations. As prayer, fasting, these are not obligations for you to add on to your to-do list. These are not things that you're supposed to do in such a way that you're earning God's favor. It's not these religious things that you do because you do these things to make yourself feel better. These are not obligation, but these are opportunities. Prayer and fasting is an opportunity for you to get to know the Father more fully. Prayer and fasting is an opportunity for you to be able to get your life in alignment to what God is doing and what He's speaking to you. And so I was texting somebody, it was either this week or last week, and he was like, "Yo, man, I just need you to just help me understand. What the heck are you talking about with fasting? Like, I get it, but what's the point? Just like, what's the point? Why?" And so with fasting, I texted him this and he said, "Man, that's all I needed. That was perfect." What I wrote him, I said, "Man, fasting is a way of denying our physical needs temporarily in order to concentrate on spiritual needs." Right? So it is a way of denying our physical needs so that we can focus on the spiritual. Right? And so last week, Pastor Tim led us through and we just talked about the fact that our motives matter to God. And so we took time to be able to listen to Isaiah 58 read to us, and it was talking about people that were fasting, and God said, "Man, your fasting is meaningless." So clearly there's a way that you can fast that is wrong, right? So go check Isaiah 58. But what we're trying to press into here is that we don't want to just do the things for God that we miss God Himself. Does that make sense? So we're not just talking about just getting more involved and doing more things, but you miss the very heart of God. And so the point of evaluation that I just want us to be able to begin just asking ourselves as we dive into God's Word today is, what is it that you truly desire? What is one of the deep motivating factors for your life? Why do you do what you do? And so it is our desire is that we would be able to be a people of God that the deepest, most true thing about us is that we want deeper union with Jesus more than we want anything else. That's what I want for every single one of you. That's why we are up here talking like fools, trying to persuade us, man, tap into what God is doing. Just believe these things. Believe scripture that we're talking about over yourself. Press in. The God that we read about loves you and He's inviting you into a better way of life. You just got to press in. But I feel like we're at this point where we're kind of stuck. Where, man, you might really want that, but you don't know how to want that actually. Did that make sense? It didn't make sense? Okay. That's okay. Somebody said no, somebody said yes, it makes sense. Right. So you may deep down really want something, but you keep acting in a different way. Right? So then what is it that you actually want? You were stuck. So man, right now, some of you just take a deep breath. The Christian life is defined by the fact that, man, I want to want Jesus more than I do right now. I want to want him more. I haven't figured that out yet. But that is what the Christian life is about, is that day by day I press into God, and then my desire to get to know him more begins to change me, so then I become more like him as the days, as the weeks, as the months, as the years stack on. It is this progression where one day where I'm before him face to face, man, I'll be made like him. But here, I get the beautiful struggle of trying to fight through, why do I do what I do, man? Why do I do it? I get out of alignment all the time. I say that I want to be able to be all about this, and I begin to do things over here. And I'm like, what on earth? And so what we're going to be presenting today is that prayer and fasting are tools for realignment. This is the main idea for you. Prayer and fasting are tools to realign your life on what matters most. It's about realignment. And so let me give you an illustration. So I'm at the beautiful stage in my life where I literally despise working out. Okay? Maybe you've been there in your journey. Maybe you just despise the thought of it, so you despise despising it. Then that's fine. Let's just call it what it is, right? But why do you work out? Why do you go to the gym? Why do you go hire a personal trainer? What's the purpose in that? The purpose in that is for you to get your body to do what your mind doesn't want you to do. Right? So there's a number of reasons why. We can sit down and share a coffee and I can tell you all the reasons why I hate working out. All right, it's fine. We're not going to do that right now. Right? But sum it down is that my mind is saying, hey, there's something different that you can be doing, so don't work out. That's difficult. Don't do it. It's going to hurt. Don't do it. Right? So my mind doesn't want to do it. So exercise, going to the gym, hiring a personal trainer is getting my body to do what my mind doesn't want to do. Right? But listen. Amen. I have this conflicting thing going on inside of my soul right now. Because the deep desire inside of me is that I want to be able to be physically fit for when Gideon grows up and when Gideon has kids. I want to be able to be able to be a beast out there on the baseball field and the football field. I want to tackle him so that I'm the first one picked. All right, I want to be that dude. I want to be able so that my body is working physically for him, right? So that's a deep desire, right? I want my body to be able to be working for Marissa. I want to be able to show up for her. Right? Would it be nice to be able to be stronger? Sure, right? But listen, the deep desire inside of me is that I want to be able to be there for my family as my body breaks down. And so when I wake up and I'm faced with the opportunity, man, am I going to sleep in and pursue comfort? Because that's an option. That deep desire for comfort and for more sleep, that's there. But where's that getting me? But if I press in and I'm like, yo, you got to show up for Gideon. You got to show up for Marissa. You got to show up for yourself. And when I show up, then it's not about exercising. What is it about? It's about me pursuing what is I actually truly want, right? So exercising becomes just a tool to get me the desired result, which is a body that is just able to show up. So am I ever going to be a freakazoid? Probably not. All right. Am I ever going to be buff? Probably not, because I still struggle with this. But the premise is there, is that I need to decide, why do I do what I do? What matters the most? And life happens. Sleepless nights stack up in my household. They just do. Right? Sickness happens. The urgency of needing to just get after it, because there's a lot of things need to be accomplished. They're all there. But when I wake up, am I going to allow my life to be ruled by these things? Or am I going to press into the deepest need inside of me, which is to be able to show up for myself, my family? Are those the motivating factors? Does that make sense? So exercising, working out, man, that is just a tool. It is a pathway to get me to the desired end. So do you see the connection spiritually? It's the same way, what we're trying to talk about with the spiritual disciplines. It's not about prayer and fasting. The goal is not for you to be able to be a prayer and a faster. Is that even a thing? Right? But what? Man, prayer and fasting are tools to help lead you into what your deepest desire is. What your deepest desire, I pray, is that you want a deeper relationship with Jesus. Right? So these things become tools. These things become avenues for you to pursue what matters most, to pursue what you actually love. And so prayer and fasting are tools for you to realign your life for what matters most. Right? Because we all get discouraged. We all wear too many hats. We all say yes to way too many people. We all try to do way too much in a 24-hour period. We all do all this stuff. And when that happens, then sin becomes more alluring. And if you've moved past the just temptation to sin, then sin becomes a trap that just keeps you there, right? We get out of alignment all the time. And so what the scripture are inviting us to is that prayer and fasting are a way to realign your life to what matters most. What matters most to you? It's a way to be able, fasting and prayer are a way to be able to get the mind, the body, and the soul all on the same page. Right? And so when we have this time of fasting, what I would encourage you to do is to be able to focus on a specific thing, or a specific person, or just evaluation for yourself. And so when you're doing this, is a time of concentration to be able to slow your mind down. But then it is also a time of denying yourself, your body, of what it actually desires. So then it's slowing your body down with the purpose of what? To focus your spirit on what matters most. And so don't feel these things as burdens. These are not burdens, but these are tools for you to pursue what matters most. Now, don't just write that off, but I want you to be able to sit in that, because there's a lot of weight in that. Because you are pursuing what you desire most. And that's why this is heavy. And so the beautiful thing is that God's not up here just angry at you. But he's here and he's given us this beautiful text to be able to wave the flag like, yo, you're out of alignment, man. Let's bring it home. Let's bring it home. Let's focus on what matters most. And so let's go to Revelation chapter 2. We're just going to jump on to Revelation chapter 2. We'll start in verse 1. The danger is that we just get so focused on doing things for God that we miss God himself. And so Revelation 2, starting in verse 1, you say this. It says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and you found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. Verse 4, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Repent and do the works that you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And I told you, man, there is a lot there, and we're not going to handle all of it. We're just kind of scratching the surface here. But what's happening here? What do you notice the first little bit? Did he start off with condemnation? No, what is he saying? He says, man, I see you. You're doing some amazing things. You're battling some amazing battles. You're searching for the truth. You're trying to discern. You're listening what people are saying to you about God and about the scriptures, and you're discerning whether they're true or they're false. And you're not giving up. Right? He's proud of them. They're doing things for God. He's proud of them. He says, man, continue enduring. Keep going. Right, but what does he say in verse 4? What does he say in verse 4? You got it right in front of you. What does he say? But this I have against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Right. So what does that mean? What does it mean? It means what he's saying is that in the midst of doing all these things, you have abandoned the love that you had at first. One other translation says that you don't love me or each other like you used to. So you're doing all these things for God, but you don't like the people around you. Man, how many people have been in situations or been in even serving in ministry, and you started off with a really great motive, but then all of a sudden you're just doing the thing and you literally are so angry at the people that you're supposed to be serving. Oh, that was too real? Okay. And you're just like me. It's okay. Right? Does God wipe them out? No, listen. What's the beautiful thing? He says, man, I have this against you. Your life is out of alignment. Right? So what does he say? He says, man, repent. And that's like a cuss word. Right? That's like I just said a four-letter word in this place. You guys are dead as a corpse right now. There we go. There's some laughter. All right. Right? But what is the intent of this heart here? What does he say? God is saying to them, man, if you would just repent and come back to what you had done at first, man, then you'll be able to be with me and enjoy paradise. So this is not condemnation, but this is an invitation to life. And so he's noticing, man, you're doing all these things, but you've gotten out of alignment. And so God, in his grace and his love, is like, yo, when you're out of alignment, what are you to do? Man, you repent. You turn. You change your mind. Literally, it just means to change your mind for what is better. You change your mind for what is better. And he gives direction about how to do it, right? Look at verse 4. What does he say? He says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. So what is he saying? He says, look back to where it all started. Man, do the things that you did at first. What's he saying? Man, focus on what matters most. What matters most? Why do you do what you do? And what God is trying to free us to is, man, love God and love others. And so if we've allowed anything else to be able to be the guiding force in our life, then we just have to repent. Right? We got to change. And when we do change, God shows that this is an invitation to life. So you're like, yo, Chris, I definitely have whiplash because you were like fasting, then you're like repent, and then what do I do with this? Right? And so that's what, hey, Prayer and fasting are a tool to help us realign our lives to what matters most. And so the beauty of fasting is that it is an intentional slowing of your soul so that you can reconnect with God. It is the intentional slowing down and letting go of all the things that you have to do. Did you just hear me? Am I telling you to neglect the things you need to do? No. But it's saying, yo, God, I need you in this area. I need my heart to want you more because my life is out of alignment and I don't know how to do all the stuff I need to do. So because I want you, I'm going to just pause right here when I should be working my tail off. And I need you to show up. Is that not what God is inviting us here in Revelation? He said, yo, you're doing all this stuff for me, but you left me behind. You left me behind. So when we slow down and we create space in our lives to fast, we have the ability to evaluate our lives, to be able to be like, God, yo, what's going on inside of me? Help me to see what you see. We get to ask questions like, God, what am I clinging to that I need to let go of? Right? From like a couple weeks ago when we talked about when the scriptures invites us to lay aside every weight and sin, right? So we carry with us junk that we need to let go of. What is it that God is inviting us to lay down, right? If we just keep going, man, we just kind of get harder and harder in our soul and we just have to just white knuckle it and just keep doing. And before you know it, man, we're just doing all this stuff and we've left God in the past. That breaks God's heart. He wants you. But listen, it's more than that. It also might be for some of you is that, hey, Father, what is before me that you're inviting me to take up? What opportunity is it before me that you're inviting me to step into? Is there something in this season of life that you've been preparing me for? God, what is it? And so we need him in every area of our life. Every area. So if you take time to be able to sit down and think about this, you just allow just the Spirit to think about all the applications of this in our lives. Man, how many of us are so tired in trying to pull off this parenting thing in our own strength? Thank you for your honesty. How many of us are so tired with trying to pull off this marriage thing in our own strength? Trying to even lead our loved ones that don't know Jesus to Jesus, but feeling like nothing's working. Listen, all of these are areas, are little signals for us to be able to stop and to be able to offer these things to God and say, God, I need you to show up. I need you to show up. Because we keep on doing the things. If we keep doing the things that we did at the beginning, then we begin to see breakthrough. And so let me give you another illustration to help hopefully make sense of this. And so when Marissa and I were young whippersnappers, all right, that's a word. You said still are. Tell that to my knees and my back and my shoulders right now. Anyway, when we were younger, right, we went to Pastor Tim and Lori for premarital counseling. And they told us something that stuck with me and still go back to it all the time in our marriage, but it applies to us spiritually what we're talking about here. And so they told us, what you did to capture each other's heart is what you need to keep doing to keep each other's heart. So what you did to capture each other's heart, you need to keep doing to keep each other's heart. Making sense? Right? And so the very things that you did at the beginning to be able to be like, yo, you should date me, keep doing those things. right? Keep doing those things. Don't stop, right? But how much, even within marriages, how much do we just allow even the truth of this scripture and Revelation 2 to be all about our marriages, right? We just partner up, link arms, and just do the things, fight the battles together. But it just grows cold, right? And you're not in love anymore. You're just a really good team. When you stop doing the things you did at the beginning, which stir your affections and your love for each other, then you grow cold. And then all of a sudden, then you notice, man, I have this desire to love somebody, and I have this desire to be loved by somebody, and my spouse isn't doing it. And so, where does the enemy come in? Presents you with false avenues for you to pursue, right? And so, that's where you begin just having those emotional chats with somebody that you should be talking with only your spouse about. That's when you begin just, you know, oh, it's just a little flirt, you know, it's okay, but I'll erase it before they look at my phone. That's where you begin looking at stuff on the internet that you have no business looking at. A false view of love when it's just damaging your soul. Or you pursue extramarital affair. So feel the weight of this. So if there's that much weight about losing our first love within human relationships, how much more within our relationships with the Lord? Is it connecting the dots? You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy or something. Right? There is this weight to it. And listen, the Father loves you so much that He's not yelling at you in anger. The invitation here is, yo, you have lost your first love. You have not been content with me. God's saying, you're not content with me, but you've gotten distracted by all this stuff. Come back to me. Come back to me. It's the same way spiritually. How have you grown cold in your love for God and other people? So you can make excuses about it. You can stay exactly where you are. Or you can hear, man, this is an invitation for you. This is not condemnation, but this is an invitation for you to experience life. God wants to give you life. What's holding you back? What's holding you back? And so that's why we're trying to present just different ways for you and I to be able to press in and to be able to get back to our first love. And so that's what prayer and fasting, it's all about it. So let's just talk practically before I land the plane, right? And so some of you are so jacked up from your religious past that fasting is another one of those words that's probably in the gray area, okay? It's not repent, that's a curse word, but, you know, fasting, it carries with you all kind of weird stuff. Don't talk about it, right? Listen, the enemy wants you to feel that way, so let's just talk about it. Okay, this is a tool for you to get closer to God, so of course the enemy wants you to feel a certain way about it. But listen, if you're starting, just start somewhere, right? And so, as Marissa and I were talking about this, what I was going to be sharing today, what I felt like the Lord was laying on my heart, she shared with me something she learned this week. And so the people that she was listening to talking about prayer and fasting, they were like, yo, if you go into a fast and you're acting like a total mean person, then just stop the fast, go eat something out of the fridge, and then try again the next week. All right? What? Why? That's liberating because it's not about the fast, right? It's not about doing this thing, but it is a tool for you to get closer to God. So if you're acting like a total doo-doo head, is that getting you closer to God? Or are you missing the point of it? You're missing the point of it, right? And so, man, what we're trying to do, we feel that there is this spiritual sensitivity across this service and the last. And it feels like you guys are just wanting to be able to lean in a little bit more. And we are persuaded to tell you that there is more that God wants to give you as you press in. There is more freedom to be found. There is marriages to be reconciled. There is healings to be experienced. There are new ministry opportunities to be launched out of this family here. But it's not going to keep happening by you just running the race you've been running and doing the things you've been doing. Why do you do the things you do? Man, let's get back to loving God more than we love what he can give us. Let's get back to the love of God so that, man, when we repent, when we turn back to our first love, we actually experience him. And so as we close, man, we're going to sing a song. And so I'm going to invite the band to come on up and they're going to get us ready. But as we're singing, man, if you need to just sit and you need to pray, then you do that. That's fine. If you need to stand and you need to sing and be reminded of the faithfulness of God on your behalf, then you do that. If you need to come forward and we need to get somebody to pray with you, man, we will come. We will help pray with you. But listen, don't stay where you are. We all have areas where we are out of alignment. We all have areas that we need to repent, every single one of us. And so this is an opportunity for us to be able to turn to the Father and say, God, I'm out of alignment. Help me to come back to you. Help me to come back to you. And so repentance starts with a moment. And so this might be a moment for you. But it continues for a lifetime. You continue this. You continue it. And that's why prayer and fasting are amazing tools for you, because they are areas for you to be able to get back into alignment about what actually matters. And so if you're here today and you've been trying to pursue just what life is actually about, and you've tried to live for yourself, live for other people, and everything's just leaving you empty, man, maybe today is the day where you're like, man, you just feel like God is just tapping on you. And if that's the case, then man, come forward. Love to pray with you. Love for you to be able to experience this salvation and be welcomed into the family of God. But if you've already been adopted into the family of God, then man, this is a space for you to be able to repent and to respond. Where are you out of alignment? Where can we get back focused on the love of God? So let's be in awe of the love of God. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray that you would free us from ourselves. I pray that you would bring to our mind, even now as we're singing, as we're praying, as we're evaluating, I pray that you would bring to mind the areas that we need to repent. Not see it as condemnation, but as an invitation to life. Father, help us to be able to desire you more than we desire anything else. So God, have your way and be with us now.